This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is Tim without Johnny again tonight. That's all right. We will make it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. And if you want to talk, callers, you've been calling in the last few weeks. We appreciate it. We love to talk to you. The number's 844-967-2789. Give us a call. Lots on the menu, although we're going to take a pivot for, you know, current events. But first and foremost, Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers out there, we appreciate you at Busted Pencils. I mean, how often is it that we constantly remind people to not just say nice things about teachers, but to value teachers, lift them up, make them feel wonderful. And you know what? Occasionally bring them something nice during Teacher Appreciation Week. I was looking at some of the best gifts not to bring a teacher. If you're a teacher out there and you have a horrible gift you want to share that you received during Teacher Appreciation Week, 844-967-2789. The worst Teacher Appreciation Week gifts that have ever been received, let's say given, but we don't know about that, but received, let us know what they are, 844-967-2789. The other topic we'll hit again probably a little bit later, student loan forgiveness. And as I said on the promo, for who? Well, that's a good question. For who? We'll look at an article that kind of lays out who the potential people that would be forgiven. I right away have a problem with already the idea that since I have student loans, I might need to be forgiven, as if I did some kind of sin by taking out a student loan. So the whole idea of forgiveness is a problem. How about just making good on the fact that I went to college, took out some money, paid for college, did what I was supposed to do, and I have been paying taxes, contributing, doing all of the things that you do by getting educated, becoming an educated educator who talks education, my student loans, do I need to be forgiven? How about just pat me on the back and say, go on your way, dude, you have contributed. If you have a thought about student loan forgiveness, 844-967-2789. But man, we got to go to the news of the day. And how do you relate this back to education? The potential Supreme Court unending, undoing, unraveling of the Roe v. Wade decision. What's that have to do with public education? How does it fit in? Well, we can talk about it. Because if this is true, and if this is really happening, and the overturning of Roe v. Wade, there are going to be 26 states that are set to ban abortion right away. Huh. Now, we can talk about that if you want, but I want to put the education angle here. Of those 26 states, half of them have no sex education requirement. None whatsoever. No talking about sex, that thing that leads to pregnancy.
Babies.
That thing, right? Well, just there's a potential here that sometimes sex and pregnancy go together. But here it is, out of the 74 million, we're citing them again this week, half of states set to ban abortion have no sex ed requirements. And this is, quote, from the 74 million. Should the Supreme Court strike down Roe v. Wade, 26 states are set to ban abortion, according to a 2021 analysis by the Guttmacher Institute, a nonpartisan reproductive health research group. Exactly half have no mandate that schools teach sex education. Data from the Institute reveals, and only four of the 26 require curricula to cover the topic of contraception. That might have a little bit to do. 23 allow districts to skip over consent entirely. So restricting abortion access in a country that already limits young people's resources for learning about sexual health is, quote, a horrifying picture, said Cassandra Corrado, a sex educator who works with high school and college students in Florida, where an abortion ban now is expected. And here from Cassandra, quote, "We're going to have a lot of people being afraid of their own bodies, and we're going to have a lot of people turning to unreliable sources for information," end quote. Oh, so there we are, situated here. The idea of Roe v. Wade, and, you know, we can have a discussion, not really the topic here. Pro-abortion, is Busted Pencils pro? No, we're pro-education. And so what we're talking about here, this idea of overturning Roe v. Wade, hopefully it even the however you want to say it, if this is about unwanted pregnancies and stopping unwanted pregnancies, mm-hmm. okay, this is where we have to recognize that we have to then do something actually to stop unwanted pregnancies if we wanted people to not, quote, get abortions. And this is just for unwanted pregnancies. All of the other medical issues, those are all real issues that need to be really considered and talked about in depth when we're talking about Roe v. Wade. But here, bringing the education back, the idea, if you don't want to get pregnant, one of the best reduction methods, other than not doing it, because I know anybody out there who wants to argue with me and say, "Tim, all I need to do is just say no, abstinence only. It always works." You're right. You're not going to get an argument from me. Not doing it, not having sex, is a guarantee against getting pregnant. However, if you do have sex and you do have an unwanted pregnancy, then you're in that position. However, what could we do to eliminate, reduce, take away the unwanted pregnancies? There's a lot we can do. Sex education is one of those things. And the fact that we ban sex education in so many states that are about to make Roe v. Wade the law of the land, potentially. I know we have a caller on the line.
We do. Yeah, we got Tom from L.A.
L.A. Tom, my man, L.A. Tom, tell me what's going on out there on the left coast.
Hey, Johnny, first off, we the people are the government.
We got Tim here. Johnny is in absentia.
Tim, I'm sorry. Tim, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that. And that goes with educating our public and having a strong public education. And I am a proud FDR Democrat. And I hope more people look into FDR and see what he did, and also become proud FDR Democrats. First off, this whole issue of a woman's right to choose has become about either termination or not termination. And mm-hmm. the thing is, the whole idea of a woman's right to choose is that she gets to choose, not the government. And most women choose to carry a child to full term. Mm-hmm. So when we sit here and we say pro-life versus, opposite pro-life, pro-death. No. You have to have two nouns. It's either pro a woman's right to choose or pro the government's right to choose. Mm-hmm. That's what the two issues are.
And the privacy issues that are buried in there, you know, that inherently the government denying you a right means that they know you're in need of it.
Mm. Correct. And the thing about it is that this whole pro government's right to choose is really about making women second-class citizens, third-class citizens. This is going to have a rippling effect amongst LGBTQ people. This is just a slippery slope going right down the drain in terms of people having rights. We're going to be back to women asking their husbands, can I please open a checking account and put it in your name? This is not about termination or non-termination. That's what they want to make it all about.
Well, they make it about that, Tom, and you're right. And, you know, the right to choose, and I like the way you frame that, versus the government's right to choose. And if we were realistic and true about having any type of political leanings, then resisting government domination over the free will would seem like that might line up with a certain party that's in support of having the government deny rights, in this case here, the ability of women to make the decision to look after themselves with healthcare in the ways that they need best between them and their doctors. But, you know, I wanted more of the hypocrisy here is that, too, the if it's about unwanted pregnancies, if it is, why is it then that some of the most rabid states that are wanting to end unwanted pregnancy abortion are then also the same states that do not teach kids how to avoid getting pregnant when they don't want to? So the idea of comprehensive sex education, if you really wanted to reduce, and I know everybody's like, reduce, no, it's not about that, Tim, we want to end it. Okay, but let's stop getting people pregnant who don't want to be pregnant. What do? You teach them. They learn, and guess what? Every time a comprehensive sex education curriculum takes the stage, unwanted pregnancies go down. How is it possible then that we can have states that forbid or even don't or even just ignore teaching sex education in the moment of in this time? Isn't this hypocritical, Tom?
Well, yeah. And Tim, and the thing about it is, you know, the more that they can dumb down the society, the more that they can pretend it doesn't exist, the more unwanted pregnancies come about, and it's usually people that are not as educated, so therefore they have cannon fodder for their wars when they become 18 years old and they have nowhere to go.
Factory workers and housewives and all of it.
Well, but, you know, this is going to be the same group, too, that, you know, we're not going to give any type of assistance to single mothers once they have the child. So again, whatever we mean by pro-life, we always tend to see, do you mean pro-life throughout their entire life, or do you mean until they're born and then forget about it? It's up to you, little baby, to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I don't know. I just find it incredibly, I don't know, I'm being nice here, ironic that if we really, really, really are concerned, and Tom, thanks for calling in. Always appreciate that call from the Left Coast, LA. Tom, always give me a call. If you want to join us, it's 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We are talking about Roe v. Wade, but we're talking about sex education and the way that's regarded. Student loans, who should qualify for forgiveness. Teacher Appreciation Week, too, a little bit on the light side. Any of you out there, some of the worst Teacher Appreciation Week gifts that you ever received, we would love to hear about them. And the number is 844-967-2789. But I just, you know, again, appreciate the call from Tom and Evan. Yeah. As we come up on this, you know, please join us after the break here. We'll be back when we get back, you know, but student loans, Roe v. Wade, Teacher Appreciation Week, it's all up for grabs. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, back after the break.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn, truth, banned? Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, or maybe it'll just push your anxiety a little higher today. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Teachers, we appreciate you at Busted Pencils every week, every day, every second. It is Teacher Appreciation Week. If you're out there listening, tell a teacher something other than you appreciate them, though. Tell them something that means something. Do something that matters. The other part, though, teachers, if you're out there listening, over the years, you get some pretty interesting gifts during Teacher Appreciation Week. Again, nobody has to reveal who they are, but if you want to come on and give us some of the craziest, weirdest, wildest, most inappropriate Teacher Appreciation Week gifts. I don't know if I could say my very first year teaching, I don't know if it was inappropriate as much as it was thankful. However, when I had a second grader running up to me with a bag and a big smile on her face going, "My mom told me not to open it until you looked at it. No. Go ahead, look at it. Go look at it. Oh, yeah. And there it was a nice bottle of bourbon for Mr. Slecker, the second grade teacher, that the
can't do child that anymore.
That the child had brought into school in a bag and brought to me. Oh, my God. What a wonderful, wonderful.
No doubt.
That was no doubt. That was true appreciation right there. But you got to love that. So give us a call if you've got some crazy gifts for Teacher Appreciation Week. Student loans, forgiveness. Again, I don't know who should get them, who shouldn't. We'll talk about that, particularly more coming up.
We should, too.
Yeah, we should. But, you know, again, going on the story of the moment, the Roe v. Wade potential overturning, the busted pencils take, though, is that coming out particularly from the directly from the 74 million, half of states set to ban abortion have no sex ed requirement. Why does that matter in a Roe v. Wade overturning era? Well, if you don't want abortions from an unwanted pregnancy, the number one the most protected fail-safe way to not need to consider an abortion, yes, from an unwanted pregnancy is saying no, abstinence.
No, move
yes.
past it. We already know it. Yeah.
Well, just saying, okay, we're not going to get into an argument about yes, abstinence works, except when you're not abstinent. Or when you're not.
What if you're married and you don't want to be abstinent?
What? Okay. But when you're not, there are other things such as being educated about reproductive health that actually has incredibly powerful research behind it, that it actually helps teens particularly avoid pregnancy. And if we avoid pregnancy, we're going to avoid the need, the continuation, the idea of some form of stopping that pregnancy through abortion. We're going to avoid that. Why then, if we are, and there's no support here at Busted Pencils for this Supreme Court, as Tom laid out, decision to install the government's right to make a decision for women and their families, as opposed to women and their families making that decision. But the reality, though, here is that if we're moving in that direction, we should be thinking very, very passionately about, well, then let's make sure that everybody's incredibly well educated. And for some reason, being educated under this same group of people that seem to want to believe in freedom, to not have the government tell them to do anything like wearing a mask during a pandemic, but believe in the government telling you you can't read a book about slavery, that believe in the government telling you about what you can do with your health provider. For some reason, though, they also then do not believe in mandating comprehensive sex education, the one outside of abstinence factor that actually reduces and eliminates potential unwanted pregnancies. How can we make learning about sex illegal? Well, that's one of the things we do nowadays. As we said in the promo here, this is not, maybe this isn't the place to soothe your anxiety tonight. Busted Pencils, fully let it. We got a caller, Evan. Who we got?
We've got Ross from Middleton. We got about 2 minutes, Ross.
Okay, Ross, 2 minutes, buddy.
Okay. Hey, hi, Jim. So I'm like 62 years old, so I've been way out of the school system for a long time. But from what I've heard regarding unwanted pregnancy, I think I'm reading two things in the news. One is that teenage pregnancy numbers are down from some point in the past, and that it's also, I think I may have also heard that teenage sex may also be less.
Sure.
And so the question I kind of wonder is in those states that do have sex education, is the incidence of teenage pregnancy less compared, you know, relative to the population of teenagers, you know, per percentage of teenagers
like per
versus
capita.
Those states, for those states which don't have sex education? And the only other comment I would make is that you know, like if this is really a religious thing, if the church and the state are saying, look, this is up to the parents to teach their kids, you know, it's not a business of the school to be teaching this kind of stuff. And I kind of wonder, like, really, how is a parent? I mean, parents will try to teach this, but I sometimes think it's got to be a tough one. I'm not a parent, so I don't know.
Well, I don't know, but we appreciate.
Well, it's incontrovertible, incontrovertible that where sex education doesn't exist, unwanted pregnancies are higher.
I was going to say the research, whether per capita, per state, I could break it down, but the research is clear. You want unwanted pregnancies. Actually, even two, if you want kids to not experiment with sex, sex education is the key. The number is 844-967-2789. A little bit more when we get back. Busted Pencils, more after the break.
Yeah, great call, Ross. Thank you.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Education talk, educated. Educators talking education. Johnny Lupinacci out for the week. That's all right. Great callers. Evan manning the boards there in Madison, Wisconsin. Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers, Busted Pencils always appreciate you. Again, put that out there. Crazy teacher appreciation gifts. 844-967-2789. Give us a call. We're going to pivot into the student loan forgiveness. But one last little comment there from our last caller wanting to talk about statistics and research, and got to take a little moment to just say, yes, every statistical research study that is out there on comprehensive sex education, where it is done and taught and done well, the reduction of sexually transmitted diseases is incredibly more significant than not having sex education, and even better than abstinence-only education. The age of onset of having sex actually goes up when you have comprehensive sex education. In other words, kids wait to have sex. And when we're talking about the Roe v. Wade potential decision, unwanted pregnancies drop dramatically. All three of those things are absolutely cause and effect relationship issues based on, did you have comprehensive sex education? Did you not? And if you had it, then you reduce all three of those things. 844-967-2789. Willing to pivot back. But you know, the other part then, started off the show talking a lot about student loans and student loan forgiveness. The whole idea, and I'll admit to the shame, I'm a student loanee, not
too,
a loaner.
Brother. Me too.
You know, I got them. I'm making my payments monthly. I'm now 55 years old, and I'm still paying student loan debt. So, you know, do I need to be forgiven, though, is the problem. Like, what sin did I do to potentially, you know, why does my student loan need to be forgiven? Why can't it just go away? Because I've made good on
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. I don't think we should get too caught up on the nomenclature.
I know.
When you take on the debt, like, that's where the forgiveness comes in, right? I don't think anyone is evil here. or acting in bad faith somehow.
I totally get it, and I'm all actually in. However, I do want to talk about this because under this, we're getting a lot of flack right now because prior to the leaked Supreme Court document, this was a big issue. Biden potentially imagining, thinking about, pondering some form of student loan forgiveness. And if he would do that, well, in Forbes.com, student loan forgiveness, who could qualify under Biden's plan? Well, there are three: student loan borrowers with federal student loans, student loan borrowers with college student loans, student loan borrowers who earn a certain income. So what does that mean if you're a student loanee, one of those people out there like me who have loans? Will you be forgiven? How would you know? Well, do you have a federal student loan?
That's a big one.
Okay, there you go. Okay, criteria, federal student loan. And no, those of you who had to take out a private student loan, you're not included for being resourceful and getting more money to actually go to school. Only the people that went through the government student loan program, which is always related to somebody's making money off of paying loans back. Mm-hmm. So the idea of private, but no, only federal student loans. And then I'm not even sure what number two means, that student loan borrows with college student loans.
I think you can take out loans for stuff like, you know, room and board. Like you can
get aspects
of your loan are allocated to basically to cash. You're able to take this money and live with it while you go to school, and you borrow it with the tuition costs.
Oh, and part of this here too is the mixing up of, did you take a student loan to go to graduate school, as opposed to undergraduate college? Sure. And so here, because if you went to graduate school, the reasoning is, well, then you make a lot of money. And if you make a lot of money, then you shouldn't have to pay. You shouldn't have your student loans forgiven because you're already, you know, you've won the lottery. You've hit the gravy train, because going to graduate school, getting a master's degree, getting a PhD, working in higher education for 20 odd years. Let me explain the wealth that has accumulated in my presence over these years. I should never have student loans forgiven, considering that reality. I don't know, Evan, right?
You're being sarcastic, right?
Because there I am. I'm excluded because I went to graduate.
Step before, right? Where going to graduate school doesn't mean you earn any amount of money at all, in fact.
Exactly. I could be just...
But, I mean, means testing can be more specific than this.
All right. So you're talking about means testing. The other part of that, then, is that's what we're kind of getting at here. The mean testing, then... If you make a certain income, which kind of falls off of that last one, if you make too much money, you should not have your loans forgiven.
And by the way, you know, some of the numbers, you know, because we're talking $10,000 in forgiveness is what's sort of being thrown around. That's what, you know,
that's the new number.
Saying. Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's
that a tentative means test would be that a household with $75,000. Now, I can't actually source this right now. This is something that I've just sort of heard again and again on the news when this is being discussed. And there's nothing official about it. But
actually, according to Forbes, it will actually be a couple's owning up to $125,000 annually.
So, yes, household. Thank you. Yep. Because, yes,
total household income.
Oof, it's not a ton of money.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're pulling in 125 G's a year, I know that's, you know, again, people are like, that's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. However, if you're 50 to 150 to $200,000 in debt from student loans, things become, you know, comparably relatively painful. Okay, so again, how we make these decisions, but who is it that should be forgiven for taking out student loans? One would be, why not just forgive everybody? Why are we having such a discussion and creating such complications around whether we should forgive Evan over there in Madison behind the boards, or whether you should, you know, forgive Tim, who's in Ohio at his place?
But that's easy.
You know, let's figure out. And in fact, I really like this. David Serrato, who's putting this out, is going, it's very interesting that when you start moving into means testing and making decisions about who, it creates a whole new level of government bureaucracy that is required then to administer the rules and regulations of, quote, means testing and deciding who. So you actually create more expense in administering a tiered type of means tested program.
Sure.
With a blanket forgiveness, it's just like, okay, President Biden, wake up tomorrow morning, hit that pen, boom, it's gone, over.
And by the way, I think we're still talking about a $10,000 forgiveness, right?
No, but I'm even moving now to the full. Just get rid of it all. 1.7.
Even my liberal mind has a hard time fathoming.
Well, I mean, but, money. I had a hard time fathoming the billions during the crash of the mid-2000s with banks that out of their own stupidity.
Too big to fail.
They're too big to fail. We got to bail them out. I know that you won't see any direct benefit, but bail me out. I'm saying if we're going to put a bailout with no limitations, well, then let's do it for student loans, because why create a student loan forgiveness program that actually creates a new government program that requires new government employees to make decisions about who should be forgiven their loans, how much it should be that they're forgiven. When you make over a certain amount of money, your forgiveness stops. All the complexities that go around with, quote, government programs. Why create a new government program? Why not just forgive all of us out there who have student loans? Because I know, Evan, you said your liberal mind might push a little bit on that, but I don't know, because there are people out there right now who have student loans that don't need to have them forgiven.
Sure.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
There are. And are there people out there who already paid all of their student loans back 100%. And are now, they played by the rules, they paid them back. They would get no benefit from this, right? Okay, so we'd exclude them. So, boy, this sounds rough. If you have a student loan, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I will forgive you for taking out a student loan. I won't give you any forgiveness towards the balance of that. But Tim, Evan, Busted Pencils, we forgive you for taking out student loans.
One thing I want to touch on briefly here is having that cap versus having everything forgiven, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are we just sort of settling if we say that, you know what though? Yeah, it's too expensive to forgive it all. You know, when we're talking debt forgiveness, debt cancellation, we're talking about it being wiped from the slate, essentially. It doesn't get paid back. So the private loans that are not covered, I suppose that could be seen as the government not having the authority to reach into the private sector and say, oh, no, this agreement isn't legal tender anymore.
Well, but you know what? If you forgave the big banks, those are as private as you can get.
It was worse than that. We gave them money.
Right. This is what I mean. Okay. It was not just forgiveness. It was forgiveness. Don't do that again. Oh, and here's more free money.
Which is honestly what it would take. So we're talking federal loans are discharged or forgiven, whatever the terminology is. Private loans would have to be bought out. You know, the government would have to buy those.
And I actually have a private loan twist on this that we'll be talking about. 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk. Busted Pencils. That's what we do here. Educated educators talking education. Student loans, should they be forgiven? Whose then should be forgiven? How do we make a decision? Evan, I don't know. We've been rolling around with this, but the idea that a full blanket forgiveness, is anybody up for that? If you are, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Busted Pencils, one more break, and we are back for the final.
Final run.
Final run.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
We are a credible threat to the rules you set, a cost to be alarmed. We are not the names that we've been given. We speak a language you don't know. We are the Nowhere Generation. The Nowhere Generation.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We are the Nowhere Generation. Tim, Rise Against, thank you for that. We always appreciate Tim from Rise Against putting in that last little effort for the last segment of Busted Pencils Fully Leaded Education Talk Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers, we appreciate you. We love you. We think you're awesome. And my goodness, you don't ever get nearly enough thanks. 844-967-2789. Loan forgiveness, who? Blanket forgiveness, means testing, I don't know. Private people, everybody. Okay, here, put a little twist into this. Now, what about somebody who took out student loans, had been paying them back for upwards of 20 years, mm-hmm. and at the around the 20-year mark, made it a decision because it was allowed to consolidate that federal.
Get bought out.
Okay, but consolidate that original federal student loan of which that person paid the federal for over 20 years.
Now, did this person do this? Was this an action on their part where they consolidated this debt privately?
Yes, okay. They did.
Okay.
Yes, they did. They made a decision based on the ability to consolidate a student loan that they paid on for over 20 years. How about these student loan forgiveness programs that talk about as long as you made 10 years of consecutive payments, you're eligible for student loan forgiveness? How is it possible then for somebody who makes 20 years of consecutive payments and then went into debt consolidation that they're now excluded from this process?
This person should have read the fine print. You should have read
the
fine print.
Well, there you go. That's right. You know, dumb people make dumb decisions.
Hey now. This person is very nice. I find them to be.
I don't know. Sometimes they're nice. Sometimes, putting out there a real world situation, knowing the person extremely well. And in fact, during the Obama years, when supposedly there was public service student loan forgiveness, this person was told they qualified, actually met the 10 year payments. And then this was the kind of crookedness of the student loan forgiveness program at the time. There was, okay, now that you've made 10 years of payments, here's what it's going to take to get your loans forgiven. And there really wasn't this, quote, forgiveness mm-hmm. program. And so they went on and kept paying. And then all of a sudden, now we're talking about public service student loan forgiveness, except for if in the last 2 to 4 years, you decided to consolidate your loan privately, because the last time you tried to get forgiveness, you were told, yeah, that forgiveness program, it's not real. And so you made a decision. You bought the farm. Well, you didn't buy the farm, but you took your money. You gave it to a private lender. Now you're struggling. Oh, student loan forgiveness. I don't know. How about teachers, though, when we're talking about it, though? Can we forgive student loans for teachers? You know, if we're talking about the realities dealing with how do we get more people in the classroom, maybe this is an avenue we might want to talk about. Student loan forgiveness for teachers. I know, Evan, we got another caller.
We sure do. Yes, we've got Susan from her car.
All right, Susan from her car. Susan, what's happening?
Hi, Tim. I always enjoy your show. It's very, very enlightening. Well, actually, I know that I listened to another podcast that talked about Joe Biden has forgiven a lot of student debt already. Now, I have kids who have student debt, so I'm just saying I'd appreciate it if they all got rid of their student debt, because I think people need to actually be able to go to school and become whoever they want to without having to have an arm and a leg. And people change courses. So I guess I look at it like everyone, you know, if colleges were more affordable, this wouldn't be an issue. This would be kind of a non-conversation.
There you go.
That's the whole point. So we really need to get back to the core value that, you know, education is really important, and how are we going to fund it?
Well, and Susan, I appreciate that, because as we just, you know, as you just laid out there so wonderfully, first of all, the rising incredible costs of tuition, particularly over the last 30 years, is incredible. So the ability to pay has been very reduced. When you talk about people, you know, the boomer generation who worked their way through college, you know, when you're paying the tuition rates that you're paying, even at state institutions right now, working your way through college, you don't make enough money to work your way through college anymore because tuition's so high. So the fact that people took out loans, but then the reality is that these anybody who's completed and got their education, we have a better society because we have better educated people. Forgiveness, yes, let's forgive people who are educated and contributing to society in a way that is positive. My goodness, if there's ever a place. But, you know, again, though, if we're really going to say we're only going to forgive a certain group of student loans, okay, we're going back to the core, busted pencils. We're looking at Teacher Appreciation Week. We're putting this all together and saying, you want to appreciate teachers? There's the group right there. No means testing, none of that. The only test, are you a teacher?
Ooh. If you're
There you go.
You waited until the last second to drop it on us. And honestly, I love it. No, I really, really do. Especially
that's the way. I roll, Evan. I was like, wait a minute. You know, I'm going to drop the bomb here and say, here's the deal. If we're going to limit student loan forgiveness, and if we're going to decide who we're going to forgive, well, then let's forgive the teachers.
Damn. It's like actually such a good idea. You know what I mean? It's such a good idea.
I'm just, you know, but who am I? I'm just somebody who works in education and does this show on Tuesday nights. Man, but I just think, you know, we think about teachers and teacher student loan forgiveness. And how about the other thing about the fact that if I want to become a teacher, how about giving them some form of, hey, every year you teach, we're going to forgive a certain amount of that loan so that if you become a teacher, then, well, check it out.
Not just write it off when they become one. I mean, it's such a good idea.
Become a teacher.
Yes.
Student loan forgiveness for teachers. We are all in. It's busted pencils. It's fully leaded education talk Tuesday nights. Man, thanks for joining. Thanks for all the phone calls, everybody. See you next week when we bust more pencils.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils.